which is, I'm not sure what page that is in the red books. And this evening what we're going to be looking at is the ministry of Jesus and how the ministry of Jesus impacts the ministry of the church. We're also going to look at the invitation to be part of what God is doing in the church or in your church or in your community, and also how the vision works out as we seek to follow Jesus. And so if you turn with me to Matthew 4, and there's a brief follow-up to Jesus' ministry. We have John the Baptist prepares the way of the Lord. He brings the nation to repentance in preparation for the coming of Jesus. Then we see the anointing of Jesus, where the Spirit of the Lord falls upon him, anoints him for ministry. We then see Jesus led into the desert, where he's tempted 3 times, and then he's led out of the desert in order to bring the ministry, to begin his ministry. So if you turn with me to chapter 4, verse 17. Jesus speaks these words. He says, "Repent, for the kingdom of God," or kingdom of heaven, "is near." And so with these words, Jesus brings, as it says here, "The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned." See, Jesus suddenly stands and he speaks these words, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is here, is near." And suddenly, God's light brings his kingdom into the darkness. God's light brings his life into the land, into the shadow of death. A light has dawned. So when God ushers in those words, he releases the kingdom of God upon the earth. Jesus ushers in a new kingdom and a new rule. God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And God's kingdom brings his authority and power against the kingdom of darkness, undoing the work of the devil. His kingdom is not fully realized now, but we see signs and symbols of it as we minister God's healing power. And I don't know if many of you have seen the film Narnia. Have you seen the film Narnia? And do you remember that, where there's a very cold landscape, isn't there? And everything is cold and everything's kind of dull and miserable. And then you hear the words to this. He says, "Aslan is on the move." And suddenly, he began to see the cold begin to melt. He began to see light break through the darkness. You begin to see signs and symbols, fruit and buds begin to form. Suddenly, begins to break into this world. It's the same way when Jesus said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven," the kingdom of God is on the loose. And one day there'll be a new heaven and a new earth as God intended it to be. But in the meantime, we have something of God's kingdom upon this earth. So Jesus ushers the kingdom of God, and then what does he do? He calls people to follow him and be part of the kingdom. He says this, "As Jesus walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw 2 brothers, Simon called Peter and brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, and they were fishermen. Jesus said, 'Come, follow me,' Jesus said, 'and I will make you fishers of men.'" So he proclaims the kingdom. He calls people to be part of the kingdom. Then what does he do? He models the kingdom. He says this, "Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, healing every disease, sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, the paralyzed, and he healed them. Large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and regions across the Jordan followed him." So he ushered in the kingdom of God, called people to be part of the kingdom of God. He modeled the kingdom of God. And then what did he do? He called us to be part of the kingdom. Do you know, we are it. This is it. This is what we've been called to do. And so Jesus trained them up, and then what did he do? He sent them out. It says this, "Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, preach this message." What's this message? "The kingdom of God, heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those of leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you received, freely give. Proclaim the kingdom, call people part of the kingdom, model the kingdom, and send people out to be his ministers of the kingdom. Jesus understood his ministry in light of the words from Isaiah. They're familiar to this church because this is what the church's foundation is upon. It says this: "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he's anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." So when Jesus was anointed, the Spirit of the Lord fell upon him. Why? To anoint him to preach good news to the poor. He sent Jesus to proclaim freedom to the prisoners, recovery of the sight to the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the years of the Lord's favor. And Jesus is asking us now to take up his ministry and minister that into the areas that God puts us in. The key to Christian community is Jesus' ministry. The ministry of Jesus is the key to the growth and health of the church. The ministry of Jesus is the key to the health of our community, our city, our nation, and beyond. And the outwork of Jesus' ministry can be seen in verse 4 in Isaiah 61. It says this: "They rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations." And I don't know if many of you are here. About a year ago, we had on these gates here, we asked a person from the art college over the road to take something of the vision that God called this church to and to be able to put it on the gates. And the three words that came out were rebuild, restore, renew. And so that's the call upon us as a church, to be those who rebuild, restore, renew. And how does God do that? Well, he does that through his church. And the call upon core church to be part of Jesus' plan for rebuilding, restoring, and renewing. That is the person, the lives of us in the church and those we come into contact with. It is the community. It is the city. It is the nation. And the vision for core has not changed. I don't know if some of you here will not understand what the word core stands for, but let me tell you. Core stands for this: city outreach for renewal and evangelism. Three components that make up part of the vision of the church. City outreach is a call for us to reach out to the city. For us to reach out, we've got to start somewhere, don't we? So we've got to start from here, don't we? We start here, then we reach out to the community, the city, the nation, and beyond. Jesus understood this when he said this: "You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem," which is the city, "and in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." The ministry of Jesus always starts where we are. It always starts with God's people. It takes us time to be converted by God to his ministry. It takes us time to be trained up in learning to minister in the power of the Holy Spirit. But as we begin to do that, we can't contain it within the church, can we? What a waste. People are longing to hear the good news of Jesus out there. If it's good news to you, it's good news to people out there. Secondly, the core is the city outreach, that's reaching out to the city. The second is renewal. The word renewal can be related to two sides: the physical and spiritual renewal. Physical is something like, the dictionary definition is, the replacing or repair of something which is worn out, run down, or broken. So the sense of restoring the buildings, restoring the infrastructure of a community, that always shows that there's new life coming. But also, renewal is a spiritual, in the spiritual sense, definition of this: the state or process of being made spiritually new in the Holy Spirit. So renewal is both physical, on the outside, cosmetically buildings, but it's also within the inside. It's a changing of man's heart to be more like Jesus. And finally, evangelism. What's evangelism? Well, it's simply sharing the good news of Jesus. It's great news, you know. It's wonderful news. If you're not careful, it might change your life. So Jesus called us to be his witnesses, showing the world through his people what God is like. So the invitation is from Jesus to be part of what he's doing on the earth. And in our particular situation, where are we? We're in Dublin. That's our part of the earth, isn't it? So he wants to activate our gifts, our time and our money for the service of the kingdom. And the vision of CORE is this: those on the outside looking in, becoming those on the inside reaching out. And those in the outside looking in is to move from observer to participator. Those on the outside looking in. If you're looking in, you're observing, but you're not participating. God's intention is that we become from observer to participator, so that we can be joining with us in reaching out. So the move is from observer to participator, from seeing what God is doing, to join with us in the vision of core and be part of what God is doing. So those on the outside looking in, becoming those on the inside reaching out. We're also very aware that it's the Lord that builds the house. We don't. It's the Lord's invitation, it's the Lord's initiation. And we're following him step by step as he leads and guides us, because he's the boss. Before I came out to Ireland, the Lord showed me a picture of an ark. And the ark, and you know Noah's ark? You're familiar with the story? I'm sure many people are familiar with the story of Noah and the ark. And the thing about the ark, where was it built? Well, it was built in the desert, wasn't it? It was built in an unlikely location. And what was specific about the ark? One, it was built in the desert. But two, it was built according to God's design and purpose. And I believe that we're right in the middle of a desert. We're in a spiritual desert. There's so many things in this area which need God's power to change our lives and the lives of those around us. And I believe the Lord wants to build this church like an ark. He's located in an unlikely location. He wants to build it according to his design and purpose. But when the Spirit comes, it's exactly what it's been designed for. And I believe it's designed for the harvest, to bring those who didn't know Jesus into the church, because that's God's heart and we're catching up with it. And it's quite and a few months when Kath and I came into the city. Kath's my wife, she's not here tonight, but she's standing at the bus stop out of there. We used to live down in Drumcondra for a while, and as Catherine was sitting outside at the bus stop, she was waiting for the bus. And the great thing about over in Ireland compared to England is that people talk to you. If you stand at a bus stop in England, people go. But over here it's how you doing, you know, get to know each other, how's it going, kind of thing. So Catherine was sitting there, and it just began to rain. And as she's standing at the bus stop, this lady said to her, "Someone round here needs to build an ark." Before we came out here, God had put in my heart over many walks. I used to go hanging out with the Lord. I used to go into kind of walking miles. And was that those on the outside looking in, becoming those on the inside reaching out. As soon as I came here, what happened? We had glass doors put in the door here. What does that enable us to do? Those on the outside looking in, becoming those on the inside, reaching out. There's a connection between us and people out there. And that's what God wants us to do. They look in and see what we're like. It's fantastic people here, by the way. But they just don't know about it yet, do they? But they will do. And they'll join with us, as those from the bingo and all sorts of stuff. And as they're convinced by the power of God, they'll be with us, reaching out all over the place. So it's the beginning of God moving in this place. And so the vision of CORE is made up of four components. The first thing is, we want to be a community that welcomes the outsider in. We want to be a church that welcomes all who come through our door, learning to show the love, hospitality, and acceptance that characterize Jesus' ministry. And so welcome starts with the church community. We are the welcome. As Michael Jackson said, we are the world. But it's really poor. But we are the welcome. We are. When people come to the church, it's us who welcome people. If people feel unwelcome, it's because we probably haven't stepped up and said, "Hi, how are you doing?" Secondly, we're developing the welcome desk at the back so we can help connect people with the community of CORE, as I said earlier. We're just about to launch a new website that says who we are, what we're about, how you can get involved, and that's going to be released after Easter. But that's to communicate with people who we are and what we're about, so you can get behind what God is doing here. A couple of weeks ago, we had welcome lunches. These are lunches building relationships with people who are new to the church, so they can meet us, get to know us, have something to eat, And actually begin to build a relationship, because it's very difficult when you first come into a church. It's scary. It really is. I've been terrified of most churches I've been to. We also have Step Up, which is part of the church, which is providing connection to CORE and to the CORE community, particularly for those who come for international people who freshly arrived in the city. It's to welcome them and to get them knitted in with the community, because I know myself, landing in Dublin a couple of years ago, it's very lonely when you first hit the city, because you don't know anything, you don't know how to get anything. If your car breaks down, who do you ask? Once you get to know people, you know your man who does this, you know your man who does that, your man who does this, and your man who does that. But it takes a while to get into that. And so you need the community here to help those who've just arrived, just to feel welcome. We want to put on social, so we build a relationship together. And so we've got a social coming up. That film we just saw, which is called, what's it called again? Amazing Grace. So if you want to come be part of that, it's just so we get to know you, you get to know us. And in the future, we're going to open the church up during the day for coffee mornings to invite people in, mums and tots, parenting courses, discipleship courses, etc., etc. And God is releasing facilities for us to do that, and we're going to share to you about that in a minute, about one of the facilities God has opened up to us, which is very exciting. And I'm also very delighted to have Rob Jones is coming on as curate full time in June, July time, and he's part of the thing he's going to be doing is helping develop the welcome. And that's going to be a wonderful ministry as we help people engage with what we're doing here, and we can learn about them and they can learn about us. The second thing that informs the vision is the highest value at CORE, but I put it in second place, only because welcome, you've got to be welcomed into something. What are you being welcomed into? Well, it's a worshipping community. The highest value in CORE is worship. And I've called it worship will be the sign. I'll read you this. We want to be a church that worships Jesus in both spirit and truth, because that is the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. We believe that the worship of Jesus is key to the mission of the church. And we talked about this a few months ago. The prophet Ezekiel sees a vision of a restored sanctuary. Out of the restored sanctuary, water begins to flow. And wherever the water flows, there is life. So out of our worship of Jesus, God releases the Holy Spirit like a river. And as the river flows out of the church, it rebuilds, restores, revives the life of the people, the community, and beyond. So we're about restoring the place of worship in this church, and we're learning how to do that, and God is leading us into that. And I'm delighted to have Jack Heaslip on board, Rob Jones on board, to help develop the teaching, the leading, and preaching, so that we really grow in God's understanding of His Word, so that we begin to understand how God sees the world and how we can engage with that. We've also delighted to have Ravi on board, who's going to be overseeing the worship. He's going to help release the new worship leaders and developing a broader base within the church to empower new people to get involved with the musical worship within the church. And we want to develop the creative arts, the multimedia, so that we can really engage in a creative way with what God is doing. I've been delighted to see the place of prayer in the church. We're beginning to grow and learn how to pray to God. We've had the Monday night hot houses, which will be time to pray together as a church, to hear God's voice, and out of that we've been using what God has said to us in order to build ministries. But out of that we've had the Lydia prayer group, we've had student prayer groups, and other people beginning to offer times where they want to dedicate themselves to prayer. We want to develop the prayer ministry team so that we can actually be a church that learns how to minister more effectively in the power of the Holy Spirit, so we can bring God's kingdom into the lives of people around us. And so that's the kind of the worship side of it, and that's just a snapshot. I'm not going to give you any more than that, because we'll be here all night. So we have a church that welcomes the outsider in. We have a church where worship will be the sign, where worship, the restoration of God's sanctuary, is out of that God releases His Holy Spirit, which brings the restoration power into our lives and to those around us. The third value is this, that we want to be a community of transformation. That when we worship Jesus, we don't want to stay the same, do we? What's the point? You might as well go and do something else. But the worship of Jesus has a response, and that is us. It's the transformation of us. So we're a church committed to welcoming the transforming power of the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. I've used that as in work. It's what God does within us. So that by God's grace, we grow in Jesus' likeness, His character, and because transformed people transform communities. So as we're transformed into God's likeness, we begin to affect those around us. Because people say, well, what's that about you? What's going on in your life? Well, that's really interesting. Tell us about what that's all about. And we understand that as the church gets bigger, it also needs to get smaller. So we value small groups as places of personal growth and transformation, empowering and activating God's people for the service of the kingdom. And I found a great definition of what a transformed community could look like. And I got this off the internet. It says this. A transformed community is a neighborhood, a city or nation whose values and institutions have been overrun by the grace and the presence of God. It is a place where divine fire has not merely been summoned, it has fallen. It is a culture that is undeniably impacted by the full measure of the kingdom of God. It is a society where supernatural power flows like a river of molten lava, altering everything and everyone in its path. It's quite a community to live in, isn't it? Quite hot, wasn't it? But see, that's what God wants to do, you see. Out of the worship, God wants to release his power. And when he releases power, he transforms his people. When he transforms his people, we begin to transform everything around us. And so part of that transformation is we want to look after those within the church. People in the church of incredible value because they're Jesus. And so we highly value, so we want to provide a safe place in order to help people in the church to grow in their faith into the fullness of Christ. And so part of that is the development of small groups. And we've put Graham Jones, who spoke here a few weeks ago on small groups, he's overseeing that. And small groups are places of social worship and service. So the place is one, to hang out, to build a relationship, to have a safe place to go where you can get to know people. It's a place to learn to worship, to read God's word, to pray for each other, to encourage each other, to hear God's voice, etc. It's also a place where people can grow and be activating their gifts in order for them to be part of the vision of this church. We have other small groups in the church, like children's ministry, youth and students, which we want to develop over this next term. We've got Esther group, which we had last week, telling us about what's happening with them. We have mums and tots. We want to develop alpha groups, etc., etc. So small groups are very important in part of the transformation process within the church. Also, we want to develop the pastoral care within the church. So at the moment, we're in the midst of developing a pastoral team. And that the role of that is, one, to provide pastoral oversight for those within the church. It's also to develop and provide people who've been trained up to pray on a one-to-one basis with people in the church who may be going through different difficult times. We also want to provide within the church resources so that people who are going through different situations can have the support, whether it be parenting courses, marriage courses, whatever. We also want to provide resources outside the church to help people in different situations. For instance, you might need marriage guidance or counselling or whatever it is. We want to develop a whole infrastructure so that we can really care for those within the church and provide resources for those who come into the church who need to be helped, supported and loved. And so that's the transformed community. Part of that is that. But the outworking is that we'd be turned inside out. It's not for us to keep it in here. It's a waste of time, because as you send it out, we get more of it. And so we're commissioned in the same way that Jesus was. He's anointed. We're anointed to be his witnesses, taking the Father's love out of the community and beyond. And so that is the outworking of our relationship with Jesus. So the in work is what Jesus is doing in our lives, through the small groups, the power of the Holy Spirit. And then the outwork is taking that out into the place that God leads us, whether it's in the community, the city, your place of work, whether it's school, whether it's your teaching, whatever it is, that is your mission field, and that's what God has called you to. And we want to encourage you in that. And so what we're going to do in a minute is we're going to show you the video which we showed you last week of some of the outworking we are doing in this church. And the reason we're showing it to you, because not everybody's called to reach out to the community in the same way as some people are. But what we want to do is make sure that people in the church know what we're doing, so that if you're not called to do that, you can pray for us, you can help finance it, you can do whatever it is to support that. And we have a number of things that are outworking the community. We have the Kids Club, which most of you are familiar with now. We have the Solace After School Project, which we talked about last week. We have a prison ministry. We have a group of people who go to the prison every Sunday, every Christmas day, every Easter day, every single Sunday. They will be in the prison. They're absolute legends. And you'll be amazed the impact these guys have made in the prison because of the faithfulness. I just go up the door now, knock on the door, and say, oh, come in here. Because the favour that we have in that prison. We also have the Liberty Saints, which is the local rugby team, which is developing a means by which of using, I suppose, young lads' fervour and focusing in playing rugby rather than sort of kicking around the neighbourhood. And that's been very encouraging. Then we've had the Bingos Nights, as we talked to you about earlier. We've also have things like Grandma's Island, which is a wonderful organisation, which we're going to, over the next few weeks, we'll provide. Emma will be able to share a little bit about our trip to India, which would be great to hear about that. But she does a wonderful job with Grandma's, and I'll let her share that with you herself. We also support Nepal, out in Nepal, with the church planting out there. And so there's lots of things going on in the church. And what we want to do, really, is just continue doing that. So what we're going to do now is we're going to show you a DVD of, which we showed you last week, of what's going on in the community, just to inform you what we're doing. Then I'm going to hand over to one of the representatives of the Nehemiah group, Philip, who's going to take us through Gift Day and to give some encouragement about what's an opportunity that God has opened up for us in the church, which is very exciting. So if I can ask the lights to be hit, and then we're going to put this video on, and then I'll hand over to Philip.
I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations as an inheritance, and the ends of the earth for your possession. Oh God, there's a cry in our hearts for the nations. God, that you would raise up the fiery witnesses that proclaim this gospel to the ends of the earth. Bold prophets of fire. Raise them up, oh God.
Does anyone believe that God can take a nation? A nation in a day? Does anyone believe that God can take a city? A city in a day? Does anyone believe that God can take a family? A family in a day? Does anyone believe that God can take whole cities? Whole cities in a day?
Shopping malls, in the parking lots, and you tell them about the love of God. And you preach to them with the boldest love, lay hands on the sick and you heal their hearts. Sinless God.
And you gotta let them know that things are gonna change, cause they're not like it was. In the new life, my God, it's a good life. Makes them wish they would have known before. Oh God, that they would have known you before. Does anyone believe that God can take a nation? In a day. Does anyone believe that God can take a family? A family in a day. Does anyone believe that God can take whole cities? Yes, whole cities in a day.
set me on fire, God. And won't you send me down to the heart of the city to testify and to prophesy for you. Every stronghold's coming down. Bring it down, God. Bring it down. Bring it down, God. So we speak to you, principalities of darkness. Yeah. Loose these cities from your grip. For today is the day of your salvation. Oh, we proclaim in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
Say also that it's a gift they say, but obviously people have the option to do that, so it's not a, you know, they just made it, just so you know that.
Thank you very much. You can't hear me? Oh, yeah, great. That's fabulous, that video. I love it. If you want to see that again, by the way, I saw it on YouTube today, so just go to YouTube and look for Core Church, and it's wonderful. I think this man here was responsible for that. Ravi's hard work, I mean, yeah. Right, well done, Ravi. This is a special day. It's one of the days that the Lord will use, I think, to bring change to this community. And you've heard everything that John has shared with us tonight, so there's no need for me to repeat it. Today is Gift Day, and we, you know, every year we have Gift Day. It's a wonderful day. It's a day when people commit themselves to giving something financially, and even those who might turn over the card at the back and just write down some other gifts that they might want to give the church in terms of their time or their commitment to getting involved in one of the activities that they've saw or heard about here tonight. But principally, I just want to talk to you about the money bit. There's a card and an envelope in front of each of you there, and if you haven't and are not prepared to complete that tonight, then take it away with you, think about it, pray about it, and bring it back next week or even the week after. The box will still be there. Principally, though, what is this money to be used for? Well, as you know, we've quite a lot of ministries and activities that need a lot of financing. And we also have some huge plans that the Lord is leading this church to really bring this whole community on board. And you've heard all that from John. There's no need for me to repeat it. But you can't build that without resources. So the Lord has provided us a new resort that we're really excited about. Most of you know the house just behind us here on the back left-hand corner. It used to be part of the church. It used to be a rectory, I think. And when this church first came, when Core first got this church, they put their eye on that house. And I think it's come our way maybe 3 or 4 times, and each time it was impossible for us, for one reason or another, to acquire that house. But I just want to praise God and tell you all the exciting news that this week Nehemiah Group, that's your management committee, if you like, and the trustees have agreed to purchase that house for an enormous sum of €1 million. But that house will become an integral part of this church over the next little while, and you'll see some fantastic changes in how we redevelop and reorganize the whole building, offices, accommodations for youth clubs, youth groups, kids clubs, creches, you name it, opening the doors to the community and just making this whole church a community resource, and to have a front door out on the street, and to have the offices away from the place of worship, and all of those wonderful things. So we need your financial support to help even pay the mortgage on that $1 million to start with, and gradually to beat that debt down into something else. So if you have the little sheet in front of you there, it's just how you fill that out is important. We want to know who you are, and that's for tax purposes. And we need you to put in the lump sum, if you can, that you are pledging, And if you're pledging that lump sum today, just put the check in. But if you don't have it till September or whenever, write down the date so we can come back and just remind you of your pledge. Some of you may have been fortunate enough to be involved in SSIAs. I was. And if you were, and if it's maturing around now, you probably benefited up to the tune of about €5,000, which the government have given you for being a good person and saving money. Now, if you're only to give us some of that, even 1,000 of that, next year we can claim your income tax against that, and we can turn that into €17,526. Am I right, Robbie? And that's all tax money. Money you never earned. Money that was given back to us through the tax system. So if you can find your way to take that SSAA money and channel it here instead of into the new sports car or whatever it was that you were tempted to spend it on. The other part of it here is if you're not, or indeed you can give a lump sum and you can increase your regular giving, and if you're part of the direct debit or envelope scheme or whatever, we'd like you just to tell us what new amount. So if you're giving, say, €50 a week at the moment or whatever, and you want to increase that by 20, just write in the amount you're increasing by. So, and the date you want that direct debit to start on, so we can contact you and again arrange that. So I just want to just praise the Lord for this wonderful, wonderful gift of this building that we've finally gotten, and gotten in his time, at a time when we're ready to use it, when we have plans for it, when we've exciting things happening and people coming on board to make a difference in this community. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you all.
Shall we have a? Have you got some worship music on the CD player to put on? And just to put on, and then we'll put some pens around it, and people will just have a time to think and see what they want to do. So there's pens here. If anyone wants a pen, and then we'll close the prayer at the end. So I don't know if anyone wants any pens at all. Just pass them around. So.
That is what you are. You died alone to save me. You rose so you could raise me. You did this.